Cool. We have another Charlie here remotely from New Jersey, Charlie Cannell via Chris Geiger. Huh? Yeah, we can do remote monologues.
Yay!
Charlie is a good friend of ours who moved out to Jersey just a couple months ago. He actually hung out with us in New York when we were there. It was probably the most fun in New York.
Because he said he would really miss your story, so I told him if he ever has something he wants to have read, to email it to me, and he did. The offer goes to all of you as well. So if you don't want to go to Your Stories one night and you want to get your monologue read, just email it to me.
I'm here, but I want you to read my monologue.
Before I get started, though, a little Eastman and Laird deep cut as well. Nerdalog's Your Stories actually started almost a year before the annual, as the prototype was Nerdalog's off book, but. I consider this the year anniversary because it was the year anniversary that we had Dwight and Eric hosting, and that is the true golden age of Your Story. So I would like a round of applause for Eric. Yeah! Because without them, this wouldn't be a thing that is so awesome as it is. It would have been that stupid thing that we did.
You're welcome,
you jicks. So without further ado, this is Charlie speaking. I've thoroughly enjoyed every Your Stories that I have participated in and witnessed, and it has really bummed me out that moving across the country would end the live participation part for me. Then, much like the dino DNA in Jurassic Park, nature found a way, and you are hearing this story today. Mr. Geiger here has been kind enough to allow me to participate in Your Stories, despite being 795.3 miles away in Jersey City. I wish that I was a better writer and didn't write the story in the first person, but just pretend that Chris has a little less hair on top and some more heft down below. And we should be fine. So thanks. And the monologue is entitled, Give Me My Pink Heroin. One nice thing about the modern society we live in is that it is now possible to obtain almost any food at all times. Since so much of our produce is grown in other countries, we don't have to wait for banana season anymore. We can indulge it in the most phallic, we can indulge in the most phallic breakfast food no matter what time of the year. And that's great. That's progress. Yet for some reason, there are certain foods that we consider to be seasonal for no reason whatsoever. Could we be having them 12 months of the year? Sure. Yet for some reason, the Illuminati won't allow us to. Due to this injustice, I consider this time of year to be peppermint ice cream season. I have an affinity for peppermint ice cream. Okay, that's an understatement. Peppermint ice cream is my drug of choice. I fiend for it. I've actually considered letting it melt on the spoon and then injecting it into my arm, but I don't even have the patience for spoons when it comes to peppermint ice cream. I just dive into the carton head first and go to town. It is the finest of all ice creams, and quite possibly the finest dessert known to man. This is a fact. When I was a child, peppermint ice cream was available all year round for one simple reason. It's delicious. Then some jerk in marketing at Edie's must have crafted some inane algorithm and announced that they would make more money if they rationed peppermint ice cream so it is only available at Christmas. Yet there's no reason why peppermint ice cream would become seasonal. We eat peppermints all year long. Every restaurant has peppermints in a dish as you walk out the door, and nobody ever bitches about those being around out of season. Why does the ice cream have to be lumped in with Christmas? As I wait for the peppermint ice cream to arrive, I start to get the shakes around October. I'll wander off during shopping trips to spend time staring at the ice cream section. I know that it won't be in yet. Instead, I try to anticipate where the delightful pink cartons will be stocked when they arrive. As November rolls around, I start to make excuses to go to the grocery store. Sure, I might only need a thing of milk, which can be easily obtained at the 7-Eleven a half block away, but I'll figure I'll ride the bus to Jules just in case the peppermint has arrived. Once peppermint has arrived in stores, I tried my best to contain myself. part of me wants to buy all that they have and immediately fill the bathtub with the ice cream when I get home. But I do have a sliver of dignity. Now here's where things tend to go awry. By December 15th, there will not be a single carton of peppermint ice cream left. Despite it being held back from the entire year, Edie's can't make enough to keep it on shelves through Christmas. And as I start to piece together that it will be another long, cruel year before I taste sweet pink perfection again, the rest of the ice cream case taunts me. The other seasonal flavors are readily available. Eggnog is one of the flavors. Eggnog sucks. The only reason people can tolerate it is by pouring copious amounts of liquor into it. No one is ever going to want to eat eggnog ice cream, hence there being dozens of cartons left. And this angers me far less than the hot chocolate ice cream. Hot chocolate is not a frickin' flavor. It's a temperature of a flavor. A temperature that it cannot maintain if it is in ice cream. It makes my brain hurt in the bad way, not the righteous pain I get when gorging myself with peppermint ice cream. When I come down from peppermint ice cream glow, I am mostly bitter about having to wait another year for it to return. Once the bitterness starts to fade, I realize that my yearly tradition of waiting, stalking, gorging, and complaining that makes me adore the pink stuff as much as I do. So, I've come to love the yearly tradition. And on those days in August when I feel like I'm going to lose my mind and that the yearly tradition is bullshit, I just have to remember that Margie stocks peppermints all year long. So thank you, and thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie. That was awesome. I foresee one day in the future, Chris, where the whole show is just you reading people's monologues and they're eating after you. And different voices, I hope. Voices. Also, sincerely, thank you for the kind words right back at you guys. I love doing Nerdlogs. This is the most fulfilling thing that I do. So thank you all for coming and sharing our with me and my partner in crime, Greg Hassler.